am so excited for today. This is Z.
And this is Amy.
And you're joining Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. Today, we are covering my newest bestie, Amy. Don't get upset. Her name is Jolly Jane. Okay. Not really besties. I don't love to befriend the murderers. Most of the time I have, you know, more dilemma against some of those things that gave me the ick. But Jolly Jane, she's an exception. Okay. She is just a tiny bit of it makes me giggle. And also it's from like 1854 is when she was born. So it feels like fake. Yeah, it feels like a fake made up time.
Well, and it's such an outrageous case, right? Like it's one that it feels like a movie kind of where you're like, this isn't real. But I think as of lately, we've been covering a little bit more of the lady killers. We did the caregiver killer episode, which is where this one came from. We did one on Leonora Ciuccielli, the lady who turned people into soap.
So Ciuccielli.
Ciuccielli. Look at you remembering.
I know. It's because I just recorded a TikTok and posted it.
Did you?
Go check out our socials. I was so fucking proud of myself. I almost text messaged you, but then Rin cried, and so I forgot.
Oh,
but I was
forgot,
like,
yeah.
First take. I was really proud of myself.
I love when that happens.
I couldn't do it in the episode for our listeners, but don't worry. I got it on the TikTokulars.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. But, you know, we find ourselves falling in, you know, just, I wouldn't say like in love, but like impressed with some of these cases. And Jolly Jane is not any different. But to hear her backstory, it's a little bit, I don't know. She has an interesting case to share. Mostly gross, somewhat impressive, but all in all, a case that's going to make you kind of go, that is not what I would be doing if I was going to murder people, but okay, sounds good. But before we dive into today's case, I have a show and tell for us.
Yay!
So I'm super pumped to talk about these because I actually just sort of, I've known about them, but I've just sort of discovered them and started using them and they're amazing. So you guys know that we love a little adult beverage every once in a while. We've had a couple other show and tells with some drinky drinks. I have a commitment issues, so I'm always looking for something with a good variety pack, right? So we want something that's going to have different flavors because what if you hate it?
The Lover Boy variety pack. I'm so sorry. I got the Lover Boy variety pack 2 days ago. Delicious.
Okay, this is not what we're talking about in the show and tell, but
no,
I saw
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool, but
I meant
saw
to
it on
tell
your
you
socials.
This because you
what
got
is
them
it?
And oh, I thought you looked at I thought
no.
you looked it up for me. No,
I
it was Alani New
so.
That you looked up
yes,
for me to see
those
if I could
are
get
the Alani New
seltzers
that I also really love.
Oh.
What are these
you
Lover
know
Boys?
Summer House?
I saw it. Yes.
Fucking Lover Boy, you fool. It's Kyle and Amanda.
Yes.
So
and they're good.
And the variety pack I can now get too. I saw Stassi live with a friend like a month ago, and 2 months ago, whatever. And we wanted to get it then, but we could not get it. It wasn't selling in Houston. Now it's selling in Houston. But that's an alcoholic seltzer. And I thought it was that one you looked up for me, but that was
Alani. No,
Alani
knew. That was another show and tell that we
my
had.
My bad, my bad.
But yes, but we do have. Because I'm a sucker for a good variety pack because I want to taste different ones.
It was a really good one. That's why I had to mention it. I was like,
yes.
Oh, fuck, you would love that, the Lover Boy one then.
I'm going to have to see if it's here because
be
I'm not,
fan.
Right now, I'm not in my home location. And also where we are living, it's far to get to the store, y'all. Like it takes a really long time. So usually if I want a drink, I don't have what I want. Or I'm like, oh, it's not like I can just like, oh, I'm going to run to the store and get some stuff to drink. So like I have to have my stuff here.
And not only that, but for like a mixed drink, some of the recipes call for like all these things. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, let me go and drop $800 on like shit that I'm going to use like a tiny splash of.
What if I hate it?
Exactly. Yeah. Or like, what's the like grenadine and stuff like that? Like,
and I don't keep stuff like that in my house. I don't need it. If we drink something, it's usually going to be, I'm a huge Diet Coke drinker. My husband drinks some Sprite, but like, that's it. Like, we don't keep other pops in the house. Like, we have seltzer water usually, like some sort of flavored bubbly water, but I don't have like grenadine and like different mixes. We just don't have it. So a friend of mine from out here recommended this craft mix. Have you heard of these?
No. Is it like shaker and spoon?
No. So craft mix is a dry drink mix that you add into either regular water, seltzer water, something of that nature. And you can add alcohol if you choose, which I choose. So it's nice.
I used to have a margarita mix like this with zero sugar that I really enjoyed. And then I forgot existed. So maybe this is what I need.
This was created to like, they advertise, which is something I think you would really love, but they advertise like less sugar, less unhealthy junk in it, but it comes in like a little packet. You can get them in a variety pack mix. But one thing that they had, because I think that you like these, they also have an espresso martini.
I fucking love espresso martinis. I think they're so fancy, but they're really not. You could use coffee instead of vodka? Espresso. Yes, that's it. And Bailey's. That's it. Because I used to be like, oh my God. And then Roberto was like, oh, I could make that for you. Because fun fact, Roberto has bartended in the past. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Because I don't know how to do any of that stuff, right? Oh, no. I'm like, give me a shot like a of Martian. It. That's just yeah. I'll put it with sparkling water. Like, I'm not good at mixing drinks. You'll ask me what I want. I'll panic. I don't know. At the bars, I would just order what anybody else ordered in front of me because I didn't want to look like a fool. Because if they ID'd me, that would, I don't know, be embarrassing. And they'd be like, clearly somebody at the bar knows what they want to drink. No, I don't. I'm getting better now. Now that I'm like 35.
Right.
Now, 14 years into it, I'm getting a little bit better. But I thought espresso martinis were so, so hard to make. They're not.
And I am like you, like I never know what to order. I start to panic. Yes. And then also I have like my go-to stuff that I like to drink, but you know, you see stuff on TV or you see them talk about it and you're like, well, I really want to try that, but I don't want to buy a million things to try that. So craft mix.
They also have a Paloma. Palomas.
They do. So they have two margarita flavors. They have a regular, like classic lime margarita, and then a mango margarita. They have a strawberry mule, which lately Moscow mules are like my way to go. I love the ginger because I use like ginger beer, or I'll use like some sort of like really gingery something that's super, super good. They have a mint mojito, a blood orange Mai Tai, a passion fruit Paloma, and an espresso martini. The espresso martini doesn't come in the variety pack, but you can get it on its own. I know espresso martinis tend to be a little bit easier to make, so maybe you don't need a mix for that. I have a link I'll put in the show notes. It'll give you maybe some dollars off, but you can either order it from the website or on Amazon.
The margaritas and stuff, those are ones that normally in the Mai Tai. Palomas are pretty easy to make too, but like not a passion fruit Paloma. That's so nice because all of these are things that definitely take multiple, like
a lot of things.
Yes. And like a blender, like a shaker and all sorts of stuff or whatever, which you could still use a little shaker too.
Yeah. You could make it like fancy. You could put it in a fancy glass. You could not put it in a fancy glass, but there, one of the folks that lives out here with us, she is sober. She doesn't drink. And she really likes these because she likes to still drink fancy drinks.
Yeah.
And she does like the non-alcoholic beer. She does all the stuff. She just doesn't do alcohol. And when I wasn't drinking, it was always really hard for me to find a good mocktail. Mm-hmm. Now put alcohol in my shit now. So like, I don't want it non-alcoholic, but it's nice that it could be either or, which is really great. Mm-hmm. And I like that it's different things. I like that it's not as much junk. And I like that I don't have to buy 87 things to make one drink. And then if I'm like, oh, this is not my jam, I just don't get that flavor again. It's not that big of a deal. And they're relatively inexpensive. You can get like a 12 pack for like $14. And like, that's like enough.
Oh,
just like really reasonable. Right.
So it's like $1.50 a packet. Oh, right. That is so reasonable.
Right. And it makes like 8 ounces or something, you know, 8 or 12 ounces of, you know, you mix it with like 8 or 12 ounces of liquid, which is more double than a full drink. Right. That's going to be more than like a full drink. So technically you could probably get two drinks out of that, which is like amazing. So I really liked them. We're going to put something on our socials this week about the product and kind of like how I've used them. But if you try them out, let us know what you think. They're super delicious. I was really excited to find it because it's so much easier. And I'm not a beer drinker. So I know you will do beer sometimes, but I'm not really a beer drinker. I'm not crazy about wine because if it's too sweet, it gives me a headache. I don't like dries. Yes. So it's like I need a mixed something, but I don't want to buy a million things. So check it out. Let us know what you think. All the info will be in the show notes and in our Amazon store. Are you ready to get into this case?
I am. Great. I'm excited for Craft Mix, though. I'm excited that you can get it on Amazon. And I wonder if my grocery store has it. I'm going to have to check that out.
It said on the website Kroger. Maybe HEB might have it because aren't they like related, Kroger and HEB?
Probably. That sounds correct.
I think so.
That sounds correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jane Toppin, and she was born on March 31st. 1854 in Boston, Massachusetts, and she was the daughter of Irish immigrants. Her mother's name was Bridget. She died of tuberculosis when Jane was very young, and her father, Peter Kelly, was well known as a very eccentric and abusive alcoholic. Those who knew him called him Kelly the Crack, as in crackpot. What does that mean? Like, oh, he's such a crackpot. Like, he's so foolish. He's so off his kilter. Is that what crackpot means? I don't know what that means. To me, that sounds like something that you would smoke crack out of. That's all I've got. Like, that's the only thing that comes to my mind.
That's what I think. So,
okay, good. It's not just me. I'm like, it makes me feel like I just shoot up in the parking lot or something, but I don't.
Right. Why do you know what a crackpot is, Z? I just Googled it, and the definition of a crackpot is an eccentric or foolish person. People who claim famous past identities are usually dismissed as crackpots. So like something someone that's like impractical. So yeah, I mean, like you see somebody who's kind of like a little whimsical, a little fanciful.
Fair enough. Have you seen the show, the like flower competition show? I think it's called The Big Flower Competition or something. Mm-mm. And there's these two dudes and they're, oh man, this is who I'm thinking of. So he also apparently years later, this is her dad still, was said to have sewn his own eyelids closed while working as a tailor. And how is that even possible?
I read that and was like, that has to be some sort of like a wives' tale. Maybe somebody was like, you know, you talk about like the town crazy person and then you're like, I heard that they did blah, blah, blah. I don't know how you would manage to sew your own eyes shut. I had a cousin or have a cousin. She's still living.
Did she sew her eyes shut?
She glued her eyes shut once with nail glue.
Oh, but that's not that was on accident, but that more, makes sense.
More understandable than sewing. But yeah, we don't put things like glue or needles and threads near our eyes. It's just not a good idea.
I mean, unless you don't want to see anymore. Maybe you should get some help. Maybe talk to somebody about harming yourself, because that's not
right.
Normally that means things are not going well for you upstairs and we're concerned. And we think that you should get the help that you need, you know, just no needles near your eyeballs.
You deserve it. Right.
Okay. So in 1860, so this is a few years after Jane's mother dies. Okay. So Kelly surrenders his two youngest children, so 8-year-old Delia and 6-year-old Jane, to a Boston female asylum. So this is an orphanage for female children, and he never saw them again.
That's so sad. And like only a few? Like why is it that he just, because she has another sister that they will mention later, but why only two of them?
Because they were the youngest two and they can't work. He can't prostitute them out. Like they're not, if any, like he has to care for them. These are children that are still requiring care, and he is abusive and alcoholic and he does not want to care for them. And maybe the older kid. Maybe the older kid was like 12 at that point, which basically means they could have started their own family.
Yeah.
So they're completely self-sufficient then. The documents from the asylum note that the girls were rescued from, quote, a very miserable home. So they grew up in this female asylum. This is where unwanted female children were often abandoned. And Jane and her sister were there with over 100 children. Jane was fostered as an indentured servant to a widow, Anne Toppin, and then Anne changes her name to Jane. She's got like four different names. I'm only going to call her Jane because I myself am getting very confused. So she's born.
Her name at birth was Honora. And the only reason I know that it is pronounced Honora is that I know a girl from Ireland whose name is also Honora, and she does not go by Honora. But then throughout the notes, they're referring to her, or other people are referring to her as Nora.
Nora.
And I was like, who the fuck is Nora? And then I was like, oh, Honora, Nora. Okay, that makes sense. But then this lady takes her
She's
in.
She's like, makes her no her, more. Your name's servant. Jane.
She's like, you're Jane. We know none of this Honora crap. You're Jane now. Right.
Yes, you're Jane. I've decided I've got old white lady syndrome, and I can only pronounce names like Amber, Kelly, Amanda,
Jessica,
Ashley. Jane. So whatever the fuck your name is, yeah, you're Jessica now. Fucking get with it.
Sorry.
So
to America.
But this isn't Jessica. This is Jane, okay? So now her name's Jane, and she decides she's a Jane. And her sister was not as lucky as Jane. Her older sister, who was 2 years older, she was sent to the streets to be a prostitute when she was of age. And I don't know what age that is, and I didn't want to know because that was going to make me cry. No records exist of their experiences during the time in the asylum. Older one prostitute and the eldest sister, or I guess sex worker, but they called them prostitutes back in the day, but now we call them sex workers.
We call them sex workers because it's a legitimate trade in some cases when you're not being forced into sex.
Thank you, but she was forced.
She was absolutely.
And then they actually had an older sister named Nellie. She was never committed to the orphanage, but she was committed to an insane asylum.
So, like, it sounds to me like whether or not the father had any sort of untimely relationships with his children, that he really screwed his kids up and they really didn't stand a chance no matter what.
So, Jane seemed the only one with the head on her shoulders because, you know,
right, and let's just wait.
She but that's what we're talking about today. So obviously that's not going to stay that way for long. Okay. Because we're here to talk about Jolly Jane.
Right. One forced into prostitution and then the other one is committed into an asylum. So not a great start.
Jane is freed of her duties when she turned 18. She's given $50.
Wow. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a lot of money. I mean, it's not like a lot of money, but
it's like $300, I guess. $400 right. Maybe. It'll get you somewhere. She chooses to work for the family as a servant, though, until Anne passes away. And Anne's daughter marries. She leaves the home. So Jane then attended Cambridge Hospital in Boston to train to be a nurse. In 85, she's training to be a nurse at the hospital, and she is described at the hospital as well-liked, bright, friendly, and they start calling her Jolly Jane. And this is different than how she was described in her younger years, because apparently in her younger years, people used to be like, she's brilliant and terrible. But now people are no longer saying that. They just think, wow, she's bright, she's friendly, she's vivacious, everyone's a fan. She's now Jolly Jane. She becomes close with her patients, and she picks her favorite ones. And her favorites are normally elderly and very sick. So she pays special attention to her favorite patients, as one does. And she even falsifies some of their medical records to keep them in the hospital for longer stays so she could get to know them during her residency. So she used her patients as guinea pigs, essentially, in different experiments with morphine and atropine. And she would alter their dosage and see what it did to their nervous systems. And she would spend a lot of time alone with these patients, making up fake charts, medicating them to have them drift in and out of consciousness. She would even get in bed with them to sometimes get her jollies off. Gross, right? And on occasion, she would stage sickness with the poison. So she would literally poison them with poison, and then nurse them back to health and be like, oh my gosh, what a miraculous recovery. We did it together. When she had fucking been poisoning them, and that's why they weren't feeling well. So when she stopped, all of a sudden, wow, look at that. Turned it around.
Yeah, it's almost like, what is that? Munchausen syndrome, where she gets them really sick and then is like, oh, look, I saved you. I brought you back to life.
Yes.
Yikes. But also, there's like a sexual aspect to it. This is something that is not only for her about the murdering, but also about the sexy time.
Yeah, because she would get into bed and like fondle some of her patients while they were like dying or like in a weird state of unconsciousness.
Yeah. Like,
why wasn't she doing this to like her hot patients though? Like, I wouldn't want the old, I guess this is me, but if I were going to drug and molest someone, I would want to like the way they looked. Would help. That's just me.
That's you though. We're talking about Jane here, and she's the old folks. She likes them, but also maybe it could have been the type of ward she worked on. Like maybe she only worked with the elderly patients. Like maybe that was, she didn't have an opportunity to be with like the young hot soldiers or whatever.
I guess I would find different work, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be drugging and molesting
people. I would not be drugging and molesting people. But if I was, I would
I had to, this would be what I would do.
Yeah, so, in my head, I would make sure they were attractive at least. Gosh.
Come on.
If I got to choose, she's choosing. It's not like, you know, she got to choose her favorite.
You don't have to do this.
Nobody's making you. You've decided, and this is what you're choosing? Weird. I mean, just weird, but also like who you're choosing
is also weird. Exactly. I got it. So she was recommended for a position at a really prestigious hospital, Massachusetts General, and this is in 1889. So this is like 4 or 5 years after she started working. She claimed several more victims before being fired the following year. So they're starting to catch on. Things are starting to happen. She briefly returned to Cambridge, but was soon dismissed after administering opiates recklessly. So
that's the kind of doctor I want.
Pass them on, my friend.
Just kidding. Don't do opiates. Opiates are like real bad. Well, and they might have fentanyl in them. So just like, don't get addicted to things and test your drugs.
Yes. So then she starts a career as a private nurse and did really well despite complaints of petty theft, which I think is the number one. Well, there's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't want Jane Toppin to be taking care of anyone in my family, but petty theft would make me want
that's to. That's number one. It's not killing and fondling them. Just don't take things.
Don't do that. But obviously, if I'm still going to have you as their nurse, they're still alive. So she hasn't started the fondling yet. It hasn't happened.
Okay, fair enough.
But she starts poisoning a lot of people. And it starts in 1895. So I think up until this point, there had just been a lot of like experiments and a lot of weird hanky-panky happening.
Patients.
Yeah. And it was like, they were already kind of sick. Maybe they died, but nothing that was like necessarily.
It wasn't that weird because they were old. So
she's a drug pusher. And so they're like, okay, this is getting reckless. And so we're going to fire you. She becomes the private nurse. She starts in 1895. She kills her landlord, Israel Dunham, and his wife. In 1899, she kills her foster sister, Elizabeth, with a dose of strychnine, which is amazing. Wow. In 1901, she moved in with an elderly gentleman named Alden Davis and his family to take care of him after his wife had passed away. Maddie was the wife, also killed by Jane. So she moves in to take care of him, but surprised she had killed the wife. Also, within weeks, she killed Alden, his sister Edna, and two of his daughters, Minnie and Genevieve. But the Davises are catching on to this. They're like, something weird is happening. This lady is all over the place. We want a toxicology exam. So this brings us up to like early 1900s. So, you know, that kind of stuff exists, but it's not going to be like super available and ready. But these people are loaded. So they give her, they examine Minnie with a toxicology exam, which determines that she had been poisoned. Local authorities assigned a police detail to Toppin to keep an eye on her. And on October 29th in 1901, she was arrested for murder. By 1902, she confessed to 31 murders. So they put her on trial. Soon after the trial, printed what was supposed to be her confession to her lawyer, claiming she had killed more than 31 people, and that she also wanted the jury to find her sane so she could eventually have had a chance at being released. So we talked about this in the caregiver episode. We were like, why would you want people to think you were insane? That doesn't make sense. But it's because if they put you in an insane asylum, you're there forever. You don't ever get out. If they put you in jail, maybe you're only serving such and such of years.
What if you do better?
In the insane asylum?
Yeah, they just wouldn't, not at this time.
I guess not. But I mean, I think if you're deemed criminally insane, I think it would have to be a real show of better, I think, to be able to release you into the world again.
I mean, that makes sense. I'm going to look more into that lately because that just feels like, I don't know, that feel, look, fuck all these people that murder people.
No, but also, for sure.
But also, if it's an imbalance in your brain and then the medications help balance your brain.
Right. What if this was a medication imbalance? Like, what if this was some sort of a chemical thing? I totally am with you. I agree.
And then stay in jail, but also maybe the insane asylum shouldn't be where you're housed forever.
Right.
But I don't know.
Maybe you get to move somewhere else. Yeah. And because now I'm on meds, because there's a lot of people who have schizophrenia or other instances where without medication, yeah, it's not a great scene. Mm-hmm. But if you're on your meds, you're regulated, you're doing the work. But she obviously has zero desire to do the work. She doesn't want them to think she's insane. And she wants to just go to jail so she has a chance of being released. But she said that she couldn't have been insane if she knew what she was doing and she knew that it was wrong. But nonetheless, they declare her insane and she's committed. In June of 1902, she was found guilty by reason of insanity and committed for life in the Taunton Insane Hospital, which, can we come up with a different name? I don't really, I mean, yeah, she's not great, but sometimes I think we just label, there's too much label of the word insanity, which I don't love. But she died there on August 17th, 1938. She was 84. So she died there 36 years later.
In her 40s. She was in her prime, basically, when they got her. Good for them.
That's a long time. I mean, I'm glad she got caught. But, yeah, but she did end up fulfilling that fear of hers of being stuck in an insane asylum forever. And she did. She died at the age of 84, which is, like, that's old. And especially for 1938, that's old.
Yes, so true. Mm-hmm. An article came out shortly after she was arrested, saying that Jane would fondle her victims as they died and attempt to see the inner workings of their souls through their eyes. So she's, you know, fondling them, staring them in the eyeballs, which is very intimate and hard to do just in general. Weird. In my personal
with
opinion.
With somebody that you're in love with. And
thank you. The whole time my husband and I were making sexy time and he was just staring into my eyes, I'd have to leave the room. I'd have to be like, look, I see that you're enjoying this, but you need to hurry up because I
You're staring at me.
I can't take this seriously, and I gotta go. I gotta leave.
Right. I'm gonna start singing a weird
song. I'm gonna close my eyes. Like, I don't, this is weird. This is, can you look somewhere else? Like, you don't need to just the whole time. It's very intimate. Right. Okay.
It's a lot. It's intense. Eye contact is very intense, and I think especially intense. It's intense with somebody that you love and that you, whether it's your children or your husband or a family, like, it's still intense. Even in not intimate times, like, staring somebody straight in the face is hard, but with a stranger while you're being drugged and also they're fondling you without your consent, I'm not happy. It's not for me. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And she got a sexual thrill from patients being near death, coming back to life, and then dying again, which is fucked.
That is too much. Too much, Jane. It's not okay.
It's not nice. And I don't think they appreciated that. I think she did not have their consent to do that.
Absolutely not. And we believe in consent around here. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to die multiple times. Just once is fine.
Oh, and like,
just
to not really know what's happening either. Like, maybe they saw her administer the drug, so they kind of knew, which I don't know if that makes it worse or better. Yeah. But to not have that knowledge and you're like, what is happening to me? And you die and then you come, you're like revived. That's no thanks. Just, if you're gonna kill me, just do it.
And
just end it.
Yes, I agree. Some people consider her an angel of mercy because she would kill people that were already so euthanasia. I super disagree because she also seemed to murder for more personal reasons. Mm-hmm. And just super weird. Apparently, she also murdered a foster sister. Mm-hmm. And so why did she murder her foster sister? That wasn't because she was being an angel of mercy. It wasn't. She just wanted to kill her. So she later described her motivation as paralysis of thought and just a strong urge to poison people. I mean, same, but I just...
Sometimes I also feel that urge, but I just tuck it down inside and I say,
yeah, I just don't do that. I, like, go on a run or take a bath. I see if I need a snack. I make sure I drink water.
It's usually a snack that I need.
It's almost always a snack.
It's not poison. It's a snack.
All in all, she's crazy. Apparently, she even reported... Well, obviously, she went to an insane asylum. But she also reportedly poisoned a housekeeper just enough so that she appeared drunk in order to kill said housekeeper and steal her job. Or not kill the housekeeper. But she made her look like she was drunk so she could steal her job and then kill the family that the housekeeper was a housekeeper for.
Yeah.
And she even poisoned herself to evoke sympathy from men who courted her. So what do you think? Insanity or like just a fucking psycho? And I know there, I feel like there's a difference. Okay. Feel like there's a difference. I mean, insanity, I just feel like, you know, she's just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So like she just, something's a little very off with her, but fucking psycho. Like, I mean, I think fucking psycho. I think she liked it. It was great for her.
Right. I think the difference between her and some of the other people we've covered who do like mass murders of this style is she had a plan and it was a very personal gain. Not that some serial killers aren't in it for like the personal reasons, but I don't like that people refer to her as an angel of mercy, because while I believe in like assisted suicide or euthanasia for people who are terminal ill or who have some sort of a sickness that they're not going to get better from, these folks weren't choosing that. This was like, hey, I'm gonna, you're my favorite. And so I've chosen you. Chris and I were talking about this the other day, and I don't remember why, but I think we were talking about people who kill other people who are like bad. So like if you found out that like Dexter, the show Dexter from, I think it's on Showtime, where he would kill people who were otherwise getting away with murder. And he was like, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, he's still killing people. Like, that's not his place to kill people. But also our justice system is super fucked. So he thought he was doing the right thing. But even in the show Dexter, he started to kill people that weren't bad, that were just like getting in the way of his killing stuff. So for her, I think it's a fine line between like criminally insane, mental illness, and also knowing the difference between right and wrong. She, number one, had a really horrible upbringing. Who knows what happened to her before she was like committed to this.
So true. Because her dad was super fucked.
Terrible. Second, she lived in an orphanage in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where her older sister was sold into or forced into prostitution, into sex work. I'm sure the orphanage had a hand in that. So if that's happening, who knows what's happening when they're in there? Does that mean that she has the right to go and like murder people? No, but does that give her a skewed view of what's right and what's wrong? Probably. I'm not saying it's okay or it's acceptable. I think she knew what she was doing. I think she didn't have a good counter of how morality works because of her upbringing. She killed her foster sister. She killed all these other random people. Why would you do that? And I think it's because the line gets blurred. But I still think she's a bad person. I don't think it excuses what she did. I think that's still a choice that you make to hurt other people. So I don't think she's very nice. I think she's a psychopath. And I think that I'm glad that she got put away, I guess. I don't know. She wasn't nice. I don't want her taking care of my family members, that's for sure, or myself.
Yeah, I don't think I'd leave her alone with my kids while I went for a run.
Oh, no, that's not good. I think on the opposite end, kids are not really her thing. But I don't.
This
I
wouldn't is true.
Asked her to murder them, though. So let's just not. But she's dead. So I don't think she's available. Watch your kids. But
I'll just have to go to care.com instead.
That's right. I don't know. Some of those folks might not be any better. We don't have a lot of info on her upbringing, but it sounds like this is like an oof situation. So it's crummy. I'm quote unquote glad that we found her, because I do think it is such an interesting case, and it's so old that it feels
fake. Feels like,
like a movie.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit like a movie, a little bit like a horror story that you tell around a campfire. The staring people in the face, in the eyeballs, that's
constant eye contact is not an okay thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, killing them and fondling them, that sucks, but
also not okay, right? Also not okay.
Yeah, just don't stare into my eyes. That's uncomfortable.
Put a bag over my head. Do so. I don't know.
Thank
something.
You. Please don't. Yes, do one of two of the three things, but I don't want any of the eye contact. So yeah, fondle me, drug me. That actually sounds kind of fun. Just kidding. I'm married.
No,
no, no. In my youth, that wouldn't have been a bad time. Okay. Single Z could get on board with that. I just, you know, again, just it's the eye contact for me. That gives me the icks.
That's
the punch in the gut, though.
Another thing about this case that's so hard to feel like it's a real thing, which is part of my brain is hurting that we're making such a joke out of this, but the other part of my brain is like, this didn't really happen.
Yes.
Like, this didn't happen.
I can't.
But it does happen. Like, that's the thing. It, like, but it does happen. Also, the eye contact just sends it over the edge.
It's literally the last straw.
It is.
We're done here, Jane. We are done
and
here.
We are done. Yeah, so I'm glad we revisited this case. We've been doing that a little bit more lately, which I don't hate. There's been some spinoff cases, and Z recently took to the socials and got some really great case recommendations. So be on the lookout for those coming up soon.
Once a quarter is when I run out of any kind of information. Yeah, that I want to look into.
Yeah, like every time you guys don't
so good. Nobody
fail. Like it comes in and it's okay. Like, oh, I don't know if we're going to get any good ones. And we got a ton of good ones. I think next week we're talking about Grant Solomon. Is that right?
Yes. I hope so, because that's the one that I'm in the thick of right now doing research on. And I cannot wait
to discuss.
Yes, it is so much. It is so much.
Mm-hmm. So if you have more case recommendations, please let us know. We would love to feature your favorite case on the pod. We mentioned this last week, I think, but we are really trying to amp up our Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, there's a link in our show notes. Please click follow, do all the things. If you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review. Tell us about it. A friend of ours listed on Instagram this weekend that she was listening to the podcast. And that always makes me happy when listeners and friends are saying we're listening. And, you know, I'm not just talking out into the ether, but I know we're not because people listen. But still, it's nice to hear. And we love to hear what you guys think about it when you have recommendations and you're like, oh, I thought of you. So do this case. So we love, love, love it. So please turn in all the things. Find us on all the things. We are on all the socials. And check out Craft Mix. It will be also in the show notes. So until next time, don't look anybody in the eye for too uncomfortably long. Okay, that's the lesson we learned from today.
I love that takeaway. It's definitely will one. Not be. I will not be.
Uninterrupted eye contact. Yeah, it's not a thing.
I don't need this warning, but you friend might. And so
I don't need, don't have to tell me twice. I'm not going to stare at anybody. Have a great rest of your week. We will see you next week right back here. Goodbye.
Bye.